Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Wednesday, July 1st, 2020. I am Dave Biddle. I am very happy to be joined by Matt Baxendale. Bax, we're going to get into Ohio State's projected depth chart on both sides of the ball later in the show, but I want to start off talking about Kyle McCord. It continues to be very easy to see why Ryan Day handpicked him over a year ago. I mean, he had kind of had his choice between J.J. McCarthy, Kyle McCord, and probably some others. And at the time, Kyle McCord wasn't even ranked nearly as high as he is now. And the Buckeyes landed him. Well, for those that don't know, Kyle McCord is at the Elite 11 quarterback camp right now. And he is showing out and then some. He won the Pro Day competition last night. Again, man, no surprise, but Kyle McCord just continues to look great out there, Bax. I know it's a camp. I know it's not real football. I always say, listen, it's easy to play quarterback. We don't have to worry about someone taking your head off. But when you're around all these other elite quarterbacks and you're the best of the bunch, that says something to me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we always use the Shane Morris example as to be wary of what kids look like playing football in shorts. But Kyle McCord could easily fit into that discussion we had last week where, you know, we don't talk enough about him because we really don't. You know, he's the number three pro-style quarterback in the country. I think that number is going to change at some point here. To Ryan Day, he's clearly the number one pro-style quarterback in the country, considering when he took him. I mean, and he took him ahead of J.J. McCarthy, who 24/7's composite has as of one spot ahead of him in the rankings. So if you're really into exact ranking numbers, Kyle McCord's a kid who maybe even better than his five-star number that he already has. You know, he's one of the early commitments. He's one of those kids you build the class around. How many times have we seen historically you build a class around a quarterback, right? Well, Kyle McCord might be that quarterback. Right now, he's got everything that you would want in a quarterback prospect. And he went to the Elite 11, and much like C.J. Stroud last year, went out and was the best quarterback. So that says a lot about it. I think he scored, what, a 45 out of 60 in his mock pro day, which is just an excellent, especially for this age. So, you know, I have to think that we're in position to see a kid who is going to be a really special player at Ohio State. And all those kids who are committing to Ohio State right now, they haven't forgotten about who exactly Kyle McCord is, to say the least.
No question about it. And as promised, let's get into the projected depth chart for the Buckeyes this year on both sides of the ball. I did a piece Monday looking at the offense. I did a piece yesterday looking at the defense. Let's start with the offense. Bax, as you look through my projected depth chart, what stands out the most to you? Maybe what are some of the most interesting position battles that you foresee?
So offensively, there's a couple I think we're all going to be very interested to see. But the first thing I thought was interesting is that you had Gunnar Hoke as the backup quarterback instead of C.J. Stroud.
And I've predicted C.J. Stroud as the backup, so I'm going against my own prediction there. I know.
Yeah, I was going to say, be consistent.
Give it to me. It was the 3 days of spring practice. I'm thinking Hoke's a fifth-year senior. He knows the offense well, even though he didn't play, even though Chuganoff beat him out last year. He got to sit around and learn the offense, a lot like Chugs did the year before. And I think if now, by the end of the season, I think C.J. Stroud will be the best option if Justin Fields gets hurt. But to begin the season, I do think Gunnar Hoke will be the backup. All right, give it to me, Bax. I deserve it. Give it to me.
Yeah, I was going to say, come on. C.J. Stroud's the kid who was a top 50 player, one of the top quarterbacks in the country. He's the kid that you and I have both said before that we think is going to be the one to step in and be the backup this year. His ceiling compared to Gunnar Hoke's is significantly different. C.J. Stroud should be listed as the backup, in my opinion. I'm not convinced Gunnar Hoke isn't going to be getting more than just, here, you're a 50-year guy minutes. I mean, Gunnar transferred to Ohio State to be closer to home, to be closer to Dublin. He didn't transfer here because he thought he was going to play a lot. He would have stayed at Kentucky if that's what he was going to do. So Yeah, that was one that immediately stood out to me. The other one that catches my eye, to say the least, is that you get Jalen Harris listed as the X starter. I know that we've been hot to trot for him from some of the boarding house news and hearing that he's really preparing himself. But do you really think he's going to start over Gee Scott or Jackson Smith-Njigba?
I think he'll start over Gee Scott, since Gee Scott's not on the team. Gee Scott. Remember, guys, it's very easy. It's the letter G. Well, here's the thing. I think all those guys, first of all, Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson are going to play a ton. They're going to get the most catches, most yards, most touchdowns of any of the receivers. Those two are going to be the stars of the wide receiver room. We know that. Then I think a lot of those other guys are going to share the wealth. Jalen Harris is a senior. I've been told that he's kind of turned the corner, and it just depends on, do you think Jalen Harris can fend off these true freshmen? Now, I think at least three of the true freshmen are going to play a lot, Julian Fleming, G. Scott, and Jackson Smith-Njigba. But it's kind of semantics to me. I had to put somebody in there. I went with the senior, but I think all those guys are going to play.
Okay. One other thing, too, which is this is more of an observation versus anything else. Remember when Ohio State signed Enoch Fumahi, and they were talking about how he was going to be here for a year, and then he was going to go on a mission for a couple of years, and we wouldn't see him? Yet here he is still on the depth chart. So I guess that got postponed for his opportunity to play college football.
That's
so,
right. Yeah, he decided to put that on hold. Yep.
Yep, and that's a good thing, because I remember when we signed him, I remember thinking, man, that would really be a waste of a year for him to not just do it right away if he came here and started building all this muscle and getting moving forward, and it seems like he agreed. So, yeah, that's anything to do with where you have him on the depth chart. It just made me think, oh, yeah, I'm glad we still have him here, because I think he's a pretty good player. So, by the way, the other comment, our backup offensive line is actually quite decent this year. Remember all those years we had where, like, if you had one guy who was a backup that you felt decent about even being on the field, you were, like, relieved. Now we've got, like, a whole decent second unit. I mean, between DeJuan Jones and Paris Johnson, we might have the best backup tackles in the country. So talk about changing times, huh?
No question about it. That's what I love about this O-line. It's going to be their best offensive line, Ohio State's best offensive line since at least 2013. That offensive line had four future NFL players on it, plus Marcus Hall, double-barrel Marcus Hall, who didn't play in the NFL but was still a good right tackle as a senior. And then when he couldn't play in the Big Ten championship game, they had redshirt freshman Pat Elflein out there, another future NFL guy. So that 2013 offensive line was excellent. I think this year's might be even better than that line. They had Jack Muhort. They had Corey Lindsley. You know, they had Andrew Norwell, who somehow wasn't drafted and now is one of the highest paid linemen in NFL history. On and on and on with how great that 2013 offensive line was. Obviously, Taylor Decker was on that offensive line. Had a bad first game, but he was playing against Khalil Mack. And then after that, as a sophomore, Taylor Decker was really good, eventually worked his way into being a first-round pick. So it's going to be tough for them to be better than 2013, but it's going to be at least the best since then. All right, let's move on to the defense. I promise I won't get defensive this time, pun intended, if you ridicule my picks. Let's look at my projected depth chart on defense. What stands out the most to you?
I don't understand how the heck you think Sean Wade's going to start. No, I'm just kidding. I think the thing that I think is most interesting is that you've listed Kevon Pope as the starting will. Not that I don't necessarily disagree, but that's a big step to essentially say that Baron Browning isn't going to start. There's got to be some sort of strategizing going on behind the scenes there, Mr. Biddle.
Yes, there is. I'm glad you asked about that. I think Baron Browning is going to be – you know, like a lot of times when a defensive back moves around, we just call him a rover back. He's going to be that version of a linebacker slash defensive end, in my opinion. Last year, as we know, Baron Browning basically split snaps with Tough Borland in the middle. I think Baron Browning's more of an outside backer than a middle backer. So I think he's going to play some outside. I think he can play both outside spots, the Will and the Sam. I think they're going to use him as a rush end too, backs. I think he's going to be in that rushman package. He's not going to be a three-down defensive end or anything like that, but – you know, on passing downs, even on second downs, sometimes I think they're going to move him down to a defensive end role. So I look for Baron Browning to move around a lot, and I thought Kayvon Pope looked good as Malik Harrison's backup last year. So I'm going with Pope there, but I do think Browning is going to be a huge part of this defense. But I think he's going to move around a lot, different linebacker spots and D-end.
Yeah, that's the thing with Baron Browning is the times he's always, you know, popped to me on the field is whenever he's running downhill ready to kill a quarterback. He's never looked super comfortable like as your classic linebacker. His clear skill set is to be the guy who goes downhill and attacks the quarterback. I mean, that's where he looks like a five-star. So hopefully OSU uses him that way. I think that'll be very interesting to see how that pans out, because I agree that's how they should use him. I just worry that's wishful thinking on our part, what the staff's actually going to do.
Very possible. It wouldn't be the first time that we had a suggestion that the staff ignored us, and the staff's probably right, whatever they're going to. They kind of know more about football than we do, shockingly. Okay, let's look at the safeties. That's an interesting one for me. I put Marcus Hooker or Josh Proctor. This is assuming they're going to go with the single high safety again in the three starting corners. I tend to think Perry Combs is going to mix it up a little more. We'll see some of the traditional two safeties in there, the free safety, the strong safety. But the depth is not good at safety. The experience is not good. So, you know, maybe they will stick with the three corners as the starter and just one safety. And that's what Ryan Day wants to be, the base defense like it was last year. But I look at safety, Marcus Hooker, this is what I've been told back. So this was early in spring. They only got in those three spring practices, that Marcus Hooker was the leader in the clubhouse, so to speak, because he's doing what the coaches want. He really came on as a redshirt freshman last year. But they also say Josh Proctor might be the most talented of all the safeties. He's just, you know, inconsistency is his issue. Maybe not doing the right things at practice, things like that. But when the lights come on, I mean, that kid can play. Just ask Jack Cohn from Wisconsin. But I think that's going to be a really good battle there, Hooker versus Proctor. How do you think that's going to pan out?
Well, the one I want to see on the field is Proctor, because I think he has the most talent. But if he's not going to be, you know, there with the mental game, then if, as a safety, the one who, you know, has to be in position to make sure that a play that gets through the first two levels doesn't go for a touchdown, you know, you got to have your mental game right. I'm interested to see how this pans out, because obviously Marcus Hooker's older brother had the single greatest season in modern era for an Ohio State safety. That 2016 season from Malik Hooker stands out as just unbelievable. We've never seen a safety have that kind of tracking ability as like the center fielder on interceptions. I'm also really interested to see what happens with Ronnie Hickman, because this is a kid who was a big-time kid when he got to Ohio State. But he was recovering from a knee injury last year. So this is really the first time through we're going to see him fully healthy. And I see you have him listed as a backup, so I know he intrigues you as well, certainly ahead of the young freshmen that are already coming in. But I'm also really interested to see how they deploy their safeties, because we're going on the assumption here that we're sticking with one high safety. But it's a lot easier to do that sort of system whenever you can run out multiple first-round picks at cornerback. Like, Sean Wade is going to end up being the third first-round pick that Ohio State had on the field last year in their defensive backfield. So, of course, you're going to play those three guys as much as you can, right? And, of course, you're only going to need one safety because you have such better coverage than most people. Are we so sure that they're going to keep that system with Wade being the only one of those guys right now that I can tell you I feel is certainly a first-round pick? I don't know. Kerry Combs, has he ever really played one high safety? I don't really think so. If you look at what he did at OSU and what he did with the Titans, there's not a ton of that one high safety. So it wouldn't surprise me if Bryson Shaw and Ronnie Hickman were in the discussion to be starters, not just, you know, backups behind the two guys fighting for that one role. So safety is certainly where there's the most flux. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and I'm with you on Hickman. I am very intrigued by him. If he can stay healthy, I mean, he's a baller. His junior film in high school was really good. Looks like he could be like a – it was so good. Looked like he could have been a five-star safety. He was a high four-star anyway. Then, of course, missed his senior year with an injury and then redshirted last year at Ohio State and still had some lingering injury issues. He's healthy now. If he can stay healthy, Ronnie Hickman could be a guy that we're going to be talking a lot more about here on the Bucknuts Morning Five. All right, last topic on this edition of the Bucknuts Morning Five. I think you already know how I feel about this, Bax. The listeners, if they listen to Monday's show, they know how I feel about this. So I'm just going to let you opine on the idea of playing this coming college football season, which should be the 2020 college football season, moving it to late winter, early spring. That continues to be floated as an idea. Bax, what are your thoughts on that idea?
Stupid. It's absolutely stupid. There's no way you're going to do that, because any kid who's going to be in line to be an NFL draft pick in April is not going to be playing in February. The risk is not worth the reward after spending that much time off. You want to see Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields sit out a season? That's how you do it, because neither one of them has any incentive to play. So you're going to have a watered-down version of college football at best. And by the way, do you know how miserable it would be to play college football in Ohio in February when it's 34 degrees every week. It's one thing for it to be cold a couple weeks at the end of the season. One of the fun parts of football is the whole temperature variability that happens over the course of the year. But even the NFL's not playing in mid-February outdoors. So, yeah, it's stupid. And that doesn't even get into the whole discussion of you have kids who are essentially supposed to be moving out on from the school, overlapping with recruits that are coming into the school. And it screws up the whole logistics of your scholarship numbers with that the season set that way. There's so much stuff that this messes up that there's no way they do that. We either have football in the fall. We don't have football till 2021. And again, I don't understand why people think that in the middle of flu season, it's going to be a better time to have football because of coronavirus concerns versus in the fall or in the late summer, whenever the weather is certainly much more inclined to be helpful in terms of slowing down the severity of things like flu and coronavirus. So yeah, end of the day, there's zero reason to have football during that time of year. Zero. Have the games this fall like we're supposed to.
You are correct, sir. Great stuff as always from Matt Bax and Dell. Really appreciate it, Bax. And thank you to our listeners out there for tuning to the show. I appreciate that as well. Hope everyone has a great day. Let's have that Buckeye swag, best damn band in the land.
Has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.